We can start right away then. Awesome. Kathy?
Yes.
Are you ready then?
Ready.
Okay, you were the only one I wasn't sure. All right, well, we will resume with our next item on the agenda, which is the commissioner's report, which is formerly the chairperson's report. I guess I can go first. This is just the commissioner's time to talk about what we have worked on regarding our commissioner duties over the last few months. It's been busy for me the last couple months. I attended the state staff meeting all 3 days. There were some really good speakers, some really interesting topics there. The one that I'll mention here was on leadership and organizational communications. That was on Tuesday afternoon. If I'm remembering correctly. And we're going to revisit that again this afternoon, but it was a really interesting concept, which I think could perhaps be useful for our agency. There were a lot of other discussions, and I had an opportunity to visit with quite a number of the staff, which was good. I don't get to see you guys very often. I also attended the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska State Convention. Was that 2 weeks ago, Jim?
Yeah. Something like
a couple weeks ago in Fremont. And that was, again, good to catch up with people and hear thoughts and opinions that I don't always get to hear from when I'm off in my little corner of the world in York, Nebraska. There have been a lot of emailing, and I've been on the phone some days 4 hours a day for several days there. I was on the phone talking to people, looking into items that were spurred from the survey or from state staff meetings. I've been on the phone with other commissioners. We've been sorting out how we want to proceed with some different things and, you know, doing all the background stuff so that we can be prepared when we come to these meetings. And then all of the state plan documentation and all of that stuff. It's a pretty lengthy document to go through. So that's what I've been up to. So I'm going to give it over to any of the other commissioners that would like to talk about what they've been busy with the last few months.
I can take it, I guess. Okay. Somebody else speak up.
There you go.
Thanks.
All right. What have I been doing? Since the meeting in February, what have I been doing? As Julie did say, I did attend the ACB State Convention. I figure since I'm past president, I probably better show up, which went well, by the way. Julie and I did collaborate on some, putting the agenda together and coming up with some topics that are going to be discussed this afternoon. Something that's coming up in the future, I will be involved next month in the employment seminar in Lincoln. I am going to be a informational interviewer, asking questions and so on and so forth. Other than that, I really haven't been up to a whole lot other than the phone call I talked about earlier to the state auditor's office with regard to an agenda or the comment made on the survey and reviewing documents. I've also done that prior to the meeting, and that's what I've been up to since February.
You want one, Mike?
Sure.
Okay, there you go. I'll give it to Mike.
Okay.
All right, I had the opportunity to attend the state staff, or most of the state staff meeting, minus the first day. It was informative. It was great to be able to see everybody and get to talk to those that I was able to. Lots of good comments. In passing in the hallway, where you get a lot of great information sometimes, as well as great presentations by the staff members and then also the speakers that we brought in. A lot of follow-up with the comments that were made there and with the comments that were made on the survey that we've been following up on related to some calls to the state attorney's office and to EAP and some other outside entities. Which we'll talk about later today.
I can make a brief statement.
I will.
I think I'm a time filler right now, but anyway, never mind. I was able to attend the first afternoon of this state staff meeting. I always enjoyed doing that. I like to be a part of the motivational speakers that we have, and working in a smaller group, and it just expands your mind, and it gives you a chance to work with some of the staff. I enjoy doing that. It was really good. Both speakers were really good. Other than that, normally we do a conference call with council and commission, you know. State Rehab Council conference call. And we haven't had one lately, or at least I don't know about one. I didn't get a chance to talk as much staff as I might have liked to. Most of you probably know that we're there. It was a very bad weather day, and it took us, what normally would take us an hour and a half to get home from the edge of Lincoln, took us more than 3 hours to get home. So we were lucky we left when we did. Hastings was a glacier when we got there.
Oh, my.
But anyway, you know, going through the documentation, I'm always very thankful that the state plan is developed by the deputy directors and the director, and whoever else participates reading through it is, I have to read through it 3 or 4 times to get it all, because it just is incredibly lengthy and wordy, and we need to do it as the feds like us to do it, so that we, you know, maintain our standings and so forth. So all that, and looking through the surveys and those kinds of things.
Daryl, do you want to?
Oh, it's just for a second.
Okay.
I do want to thank the Pearl for the commission. When my mom passed away, they, you know, sent a card, and couple of people that worked with the commission called me and so forth, and we'll just thank you. And I do apologize, because I feel like I should say what he's going to do, and when you don't do it. I was going to go to the ACB state convention, and with a workload and missing so many days, my mom in the hospital, things, I just totally forgot even when it was. And now that things are kind of back to normal, hopefully my last few months here we can get more involved and know what's going on with the commission and so forth. So everybody does a good job.
Oops, there we go.
All yours.
Thank you. I just wanted to touch on upcoming events. I will be attending the employment workshop with Jim this summer in June. And then Jim and I are attending...
Say again what you're attending.
Jim and I are attending the employment workshop at the agency in June. And then in...
November,
Jim says. We are attending the NCSAB conference in Denver, which is middle of November. And then I'm also planning on attending the NFB State Convention, which is usually in October. So that's kind of my upcoming commissioner-related travel plans. And sometimes other stuff comes up, and you know, stuff happens, like Daryl says. So, but that's my intent right at this time. Anything else? Commissioner's report? Okay, I'm ready to move on. So our next item on the agenda is the report from the executive director.
Okay, thank you. First, I want to welcome Scott Pavelka and Ashley Pinkelman. They were here earlier. They've just joined our staff, and they did introduce themselves. Unfortunately, they're not here now, but we do want to officially welcome them with the agency. And then we have some temporary people, more Joyce Thompson has been working at the switchboard in Lincoln, so she helps Cheryl Livingston out a lot, and also is support for work that the center needs, and of course, you know, works a lot to keep everything going there in Lincoln, and that's through the temporary agency, but because it's a little more of an ongoing situation, we're beginning a condensed training for her to give her the basics of Braille and some cane travel and such. So that's something new we haven't really done too much before, and so we think that'll be a good thing. We do actually have quite a few other folks that work with us on either a temporary basis through SOS or as contract workers that help out with group events and such. So, and of course our drivers, I'm not going to try to list everybody, but we really appreciate the work that the folks do. I want to comment on that State Rehab Council. It's a national networking conference call, informal group that Nancy mentioned. The NCSAB is the one that pays for the phone calls, and they have decided this last month that they're not going to continue those because they're just, okay. The last time actually was that Tuesday night of state staff meeting, and there were only four people. Ooh. So for a national group, that's probably not worth continuing. So anyway, it was good conversation for a while, but I think it served its purpose. The annual state plan for vocational rehabilitation and supported employment services is an agenda item later today. It's due to the federal government by July 1. You have the draft. I also share it with the presidents of consumer organizations, encouraging folks to share it with others if they like. And just for the record, the state plan, either in draft form or after it's approved each year, always sits on our website, or you can contact us. We'll get it to people in print or Braille or whatever you want. And so throughout the year, we certainly welcome comments about the state plan and the services. I also work with the General Voc Rehab Agency and the Statewide Living Independent Council to finalize a draft state plan for independent living. That's also on the agenda because it has to be approved by July 1 as well, or submitted. Then the in-service training grant report was also due April 30th. We did get that in on time. And so that talks about all of 2012 and the grant activities and expenditures thus far in federal fiscal year 2013. So that report really encompassed from October 1, 2011 through the end of March of 2013. We also did a quarterly update to the RSA. By the way, that's Rehab Services Administration. That's the federal agency that funds us. The RSA Monitoring Review Corrective Action Plan, that was also due April 30th and was completed and submitted on time. If you read through that, it'll show that quite a few, some things have been fully resolved and others are listed as not resolved yet. But I did get word from the federal person that they know that really most of it, we have done our part, and it's just in the court of RSA to actually technically go into the system and mark completely resolved. So we have the acknowledgement that the things are resolved for the most part, but it just hasn't been marked that way yet. So then our budget hearing, first I wanted to say, at the end of February, I went to the Scotts Bluff office. The state agents, the state building division had a ribbon cutting and open house for a new state office building located in Scotts Bluff. and that's where we're located now. So I was there. It was very nice. The budget hearing for our agency's state budget was March 7th. The State Appropriations Committee, it was interesting. They had some good questions and showed real interest in the work we do, not just how much money we're requesting. They finalized their budget bill, and it is posted now. Well, that's its own budget or agenda item, so we'll talk more about budget later. I've worked with Wes Majerus, Bill Brown, state officials on various aspects related to accessibility problems of the various state systems applications. Wes Majerus is working very diligently to remedy the problems for the long term. So that's a work in progress. The Commission Annual State Staff Meeting was held April 9th through 11th in Lincoln. And as some of the commissioners said, it was a very good opportunity to talk about a lot of different topics. We also have been approached, and I met with representatives from Sheldon Art Gallery. They're doing a project, that's in Lincoln, by the way, a project called Sheldon Marketplace of Community Values, and they've invited us to have an exhibit and to do something there that will demonstrate what it is we're all about. And so Deanna Jesse is heading that project up. It'll highlight blindness and the agency in some really creative ways. And the Sheldon assigned an artist to work with us. So we didn't have to worry about, wait, we're not artists. So, but it should be, they've got some really creative ideas, and so it should be really interesting. That'll be in June. We'll try to send information out as that comes available. Last week was the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind conference. Carlos and I both attended and got some really good information on especially transition and business enterprise. We also were able to meet with the researchers with whom we are contracting to conduct the comprehensive statewide needs assessment. That's already in process, and we're fine-tuning some of the details for different parts of the overall survey haven't started yet, but parts of it have. So that was good that we could sit down with them in person. I attend lots of meetings with the center, with field offices, our administrative team, the Blind Vendors Committee, other state agency directors within Nebraska. I serve on the Mayor's Lincoln-Lancaster Multicultural Advisory Committee, and the Nebraska Department of Education Transition Advisory Council. Friends of the Commission, I've met with them twice since the last board meeting. They don't have any current projects, but they're interested in attending more agency events, so that'll be something we'll be giving them the information. And they also continue to support a little fund that helps when mostly clients have an emergency need, like for medication, and they can't get what they need, and it's a way to provide that need to the person. And actually, a lot of times, the individuals pay the money back, which is really nice, helps keep that fund there. I also spoke at and attended the ACB Nebraska State Convention. That was a good opportunity. I always enjoy that. And I get together about every 4 to 6 weeks with the director of General Voc Rehab, the Nebraska Agency for General Rehab, and we talk about various parallels and issues and federal problems and budget issues, and so that's really helpful. And also have met with the director of the Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing. There's a new deaf-blind equipment distribution program in Nebraska. We, the agency staff, partnered with the Commission for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing on their application for funds. It has been funded, and we were working on how to really implement that. Let's see. So then, I mean, my full report will is, I'm now on page 207. I'm sorry. But I'm not going to read the whole thing. It will be in full in the minutes of the board meeting that you can read online. We'll send it to you, too, if you need it. I do want to tell you that so far this federal fiscal year, which is from October 1 of 2012 through April 30th of 2013, we served 703 people in voc rehab in all statuses. 17 were closed having achieved their employment goals. 19 were closed without achieving employment. Sometimes that's unable to locate, decided they didn't want services, and so on. Independent living in the same time frame, we've served 477 in all statuses. 172 were closed successfully. 22 were closed without achieving their independent living goals. In the Nebraska Center for the Blind, over the years since 1996, we've served 212 people. 123 have achieved competitive employment. And the basic results are that 87% of those who finish the training and are not still in school or something do achieve their employment goals. That includes competitive employment and homemaker. And 87% are employed or have achieved those goals. Only 10% of the people that finish the center are not working, and the others are like at school generally or something. In the center, the last 3 months, we did activities like laser tag, ice hockey, decorating Easter eggs, a banquet, went to the ACB convention, commission meetings, and so on. Today they're touring the National Monument. Some of the crowd will leave at some point. Not because they're mad, but because they are going to go tour the monument. We also, I think I mentioned last time, our training of Bryan Nursing School students. We started that last August. We've trained 66 students so far, and we've done it where they come in, say, two or three a day and spend the day, and I'm probably not getting all the details, but kind of spend through the day and observe the classes and get some basic training. We're going to try something new this next semester, whenever that starts, that they'll come as a group and spend just a day or two, a briefer, I think a day, but all together and with the students and the staff, and work on skills and have philosophy and so on. So we think that'll be maybe, it's been really good, but sometimes we don't want to take away from training that the center clients are getting. So we're going to try that. There's wonderful, rather lengthy reports from the districts. Everybody's working very hard. They're doing a variety of projects. Some of the jobs that people have achieved, packaging, filling machine operator, manpower, human resources, a couple clients moved out of state, Hy-Vee, Kawasaki, community mental health, a bakery, and Apogee, which is in Columbus. So it's a variety of kinds of jobs that people are getting and the work that they're doing. Business office has been very busy with the federal reporting and working on budget stuff, which this is normally a busy budget time anyway with the state budget biennium, but then with the additional pressures and questions that have come with the federal, with the sequester, that's that's added a lot of work for our good business people to try to figure out how to manage all that, what we're going to do with all that. We've actually had, I said I wasn't going to talk about budget, but so that's keeping everybody busy. Kathy, Wes, Vicki, Rasmussen, and Bill have worked very hard with me a little bit involved, but working on the W drive, which is our internal network computer drive that allows us to have a lot of resources available so staff can go to these, grab documents they need, and not always wonder, is this the correct version of this form, or what's the latest on that? So they've worked very hard and done a really good job with that. Carlos will talk later about Business Enterprise. Some of the staff have gone to other trainings and events, and they've reported on those at state staff meeting, which I think was very interesting. We did also have a blind artist workshop in Kearney, where we partnered with the University of Kearney and the Art Community Arts, I forget, some other entity, about to bring a blind painter artist from Texas who is totally blind and has really interesting approaches to how he does his work. And he does detail. He does portraiture and landscapes, and it's really wonderful. And I think we have the, on our website, it's not there yet, but there's a, he was interviewed by a television crew while he was here, and I watched it. It's really good. We'll get that up at some point.
If we can.
Technology has been extremely busy. Wes is doing a fantastic job, as is his team, in a lot of different things. The major focus has been on accessibility issues, and I think he's going to talk a little later too, so I won't go into those details. And then I guess the last thing I'll talk about is some personnel changes. Dave Robinson worked on everybody's file in the physical office as well as the online. There will be a point when one day all of the state's online stuff will be accessible. Even the parts where it's still a challenge, Workday is a part of the application that we have to go to sign up for our insurance. And there's just a lot of things to it. I don't even understand all of it. But if I need to approve an expenditure, I go into one part and something else. And so that's a real... State employees really need to be able to get into that whole system. So that's in the works. Nicole Chopin, I think you know, resigned her position of Voc Rehab Tech in Omaha. She left us February 15th, and that's where Ashley Pinkelman will. She started with the agency April 1. And she'll soon be in. We're just doing a 6-week training for Ashley. Alex Castillo resigned his position as Department Resource Counselor March 22nd, was his last day. What we're doing with the apartment support, I guess you'd say, is through an SOS temporary position, Lori Jacobson, and she's here with us today. Let's see, open enrollment, other things. Yeah. So basically, I wish I could spend more time on the specifics that we got from each of the districts. There's just lots of good information there. So I hope folks will take some time and read some of that information.
Good.
I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are you going to repeat the Carney?
Will the Carney be repeated? Is that okay? Do you want me to answer that?
Carney, the oldest Julie? One conference?
No, the painter's workshop.
The older painting workshop?
Well, let me ask you that. Do you mean the painter's workshop or the senior blind thing?
Senior blind.
Okay.
That's public.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The question was whether we would be repeating a workshop for independent living and primarily senior blind, but not exclusively, that we've had in Kearney in the past. We don't have an exact plan to do that, but we do have a lot of ideas from staff and the board, really, about that, to do more of that sort of thing. We have to look at budget, and then we also have to look at time, and so we're definitely looking at it, but I can't say that yes or no. It's not a no, but whether it's a yes is still too many factors to figure out. Thank you.
Pearl, stand up.
Okay, questions from other commissioners for Pearl?
Not at this time.
Okay. Say it louder, they didn't hear you.
I just asked if the other commissioners had questions for Pearl at this time. I do.
Yes.
One concern that's kind of been an ongoing thing, and I think it needs to be addressed, is the low enrollment in this center. Do you want to maybe talk about your thoughts about that? I don't know, I don't have any particular ideas other than it's a concern.
What are the numbers?
Okay, it relates to the low enrollment in the center. Is that how you put it?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. I think right now we have, of course, the two staff trainees, but then I think we have four clients, or did it change?
We have five. It's going to be four in 1 week.
Okay, thank you. Five currently, and then one client will be leaving in a week, so then it'll be four. We our capacity in the apartments is 11, and generally that's what we consider our capacity to be. Once in a while, especially if the apartments are full and there's an individual in Lincoln who lives independently, we on occasion have had more than 11. So generally it's 11. It's a concern in that we always want to make sure that clients across the state get the training that they need, which includes home teaching in their areas, which we call the field services, as well as the opportunity to come to the center for more intensive training and more extensive training usually. But it's the two definitely work together, and field clients provide the teaching and counseling folks need, and then we'll tell clients, I think pretty routinely tell all clients about the center training, and there are a number of steps. One is there are some basics that have to be done in the field first. And then the counselor usually will bring the individual in for a tour of the center. And that's, of course, if the client has an interest in coming for a tour. Then if that sparks some interest, the client can come for a 3-day stay where they're more, they go to the classes, they wear the sleep shades, they get a feel, they stay at the apartments, they get a feel for what it's going to be like, because it is a really big commitment, and so it has to be the client really wanting to invest themselves in the training. We do know that there are several clients that are on the move to you know, that are likely to be center clients in the near future, but we don't know for sure when. I do want to, this is something we're working with supervisors and all staff about, is find ways to really communicate, make sure the center knows what field staff are doing, that field staff know what's going on in the center. So we're working on that. Because we, you know, we want to maximize our service system and we want to provide the best possible services. We used to always say that the center was the Cadillac. That was the best thing to get from this agency. And I do still think that it's a really important part of what we do, but the center is not for everyone. So if, you know, in some cases, people need to just, you know, stay at home and do the field teaching. But with the center, you get a much more intensive training. It's a longer, may not be longer over time, but it's more focused, and it's a little bit like going to college versus doing an online course, one or two a semester. You know, you really can focus on your skills. You really can be with other people that are working on the same things that the focus is on. And it helps a lot to be with a group of people. So that is one thing about the low enrollment, is that the more people that are in the center, up to capacity, of course, the better it is synergy-wise. It really helps folks to learn from each other and share frustrations and share celebrations and so on. So, you know, we recognize sometimes there seems to be a cyclical aspect of it, that there may be periods of time where there are fewer clients, but we want to make sure that it's not an ongoing thing, and we don't take it for granted, and we try to really, well, and one thing throughout the year, Carlos and Bob go to each of the offices and do what they call case reviews, where they really sit down with the staff, and the way it's done has changed a little off and on over time, but mainly to really look at the clients that are being served. Are they getting what they need? And if, you know, what can we do differently if not? Or, so we always want to improve the ability for people to get jobs. And that's the end result. That's probably more than you asked for. But, you know, it's all part of the whole puzzle, I think. Thank you.
Do we know what the enrollment has been like per year over the last few years?
Yes.
Do you know? You do, Tosh?
Since 1996.
Hang on a second.
Since 1996, I have the whole statistics for monthly and yearly, and this is not a this is an anomaly. This is the lowest we ever had, 17 years. And not only that, but the issue is that we don't have, like, usually we have people scheduled to come, other than wages clients that are scheduled and they're going to be leaving in July, we don't have anybody scheduled to come.
Do we have any thoughts on why that is? Is there any, and maybe it's not important why it is, but that it,
well, I think it's important why it is.
Can I speak to that?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. I think some of it is communication, and we're working on that. Some of it, I do know that there are some people, some clients in home teaching or field clients that are in steps toward the three-day stay, the center stay. So I've been told that there are several in the works that are likely to go to the center within the next year. But Fatosha's right, they're not, you know, set up yet. We do have two three-day stays planned, I believe, that are coming up this month. So that's really encouraging. I guess that's, I think that's what I wanted to say.
So I'm understanding the long-term projection, you're feeling like it's going to be back to maybe not capacity, but it's a number of students, and we'll be back to where we were? Is that?
I will say that we're committed to work on that. That if we just ignored whatever, you know, if we just didn't address it at all, then no. But I do think that it's cyclical, but that we need to work on, if there are issues, communication, trust, etc., we need to work on those, and we are.
Okay. Thank you.
You might.
There was a hand also, but I just remind folks that Julie doesn't necessarily call on people. Sorry.
That's fine. I'm not sure what to think. I don't know. Commissioner, the other commissioners have thoughts on
just centering? One quick question.
Okay, hang on, Daryl. There you go.
Is one possibility that, you know, maybe the numbers of blind individuals that, you know, need the center training maybe just aren't out there right now, that, you know, we have a more senior blind population that, you know, does benefit more maybe from the home teaching and things like that? Is that a possibility that there's just not that need right now? Or people don't feel that there is?
You want me to?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, if you look at the population and the incidence of blindness in the population, there's no question there are far more senior blind than blind individuals in the working age. At the same time, many older people continue to work much longer than in yesteryear because we have to, you know, the economics and so on. There's several pieces to it, but a big part of it is the major funding of the agency is from the Rehab Act and vocational rehabilitation and jobs. So let's say, even though, for example, there's a need for transportation, the funding is not for transportation. There's more of a need maybe for senior blind to get the training they need, but the funding, which we have to, you know, it's all set up in federal law of what the money has to go to. And so that's why we always struggle with the amount of time our staff can spend on the senior blind and independent living stuff. Now, somebody at any age who wants to have a vocational goal, they can definitely, there's no question there. I do want to say, though, with regard to the more intensive training, it is a reality that more and more these days, individuals have multiple disabilities.
Oh.
And so, but that's true in the center and in the field. That's, you know, across the board, the people who need services from the commission, a much larger proportion these days have multiple disabilities. Now, we serve many, many people both in the field and the center for multiple disabilities. And, you know, we have served deafblind, we serve people with mobility issues, we have served brain issue, you know, I mean, just you name it, deaf and hard of hearing. So there's nothing that says we can't, and we do, I think we do a really good job of serving multiple disability issues and folks. But it is a factor, and sometimes it's harder for folks to, you know, commit to and succeed in the training in the center.
So I guess what I'm asking is, if someone was 70 and had lost their sight and they really wanted to, you know, they were retired, but they wanted to make a change in their life and become more independent and maybe, you know, clean their gutters and just learn mobility and, the, you know, the whole aspect, that would constitute justification, then somebody could go to the center, even though they weren't seeking employment, they were seeking...
That's on teaching.
Well, yes and no. That the federal government does still recognize homemaker as a valid competitive or a valid employment goal. Mm-hmm. Whether there's debate every meeting I go to in D.C. about whether what you just described is a homemaker,
right,
or whether homemaker means the parent who stays at home with their five kids so the other parent can work. Yeah. That's clearly homemaker, no question,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
But we do have individuals that, I mean, at 70, Daryl, but you should still be working. But let's say at 85, maybe they,
yeah,
they you know, want to do what you just described.
Uh-huh.
It would be looked at, and whether it relates to as an independent living client or a voc rehab.
You should be on the ladder at 70.
Okay.
85.
Any more discussion about anything that Pearl presented?
I guess publicly I have a question. So I think some of us have asked this question privately amongst ourselves, and then but publicly I just want to ask, is that you know, it is concerning that our numbers are low, that there may or may not be something we can do about that. I would like to, if there is, you know, what you're mentioning, that there's some things that you're looking at as far as communication, I think, between the center and the field services. Are there other things that we could be doing or need to be doing to try to bring those numbers up so that, I don't want to say we want to invent clients. I mean, we want to be serving the people that need to be served. But we have a good resource, and if we don't have the clients filling the seats in that resource, there, of course, could at some time be a possibility that we might lose that resource or lose some of the funding for that resource if we're not making full use of it. So are there some alternatives that we can be better exploiting to try to help fill some of those vacant seats? We've talked about privately about maybe asking another state, working with some state centers have closed. Could we work with them? I know we have done that a little bit in the past, but if you could talk about that publicly just a little bit, of what we could do, what we have done, and what might be possible. In working with some other states, that would be great.
Okay. Sure. We have let it be known to other states around that, you know, about our services, And we have not ongoing contracts, but we have agreements, and we have contracted with other states to send either clients or, in a few cases in the past, some states sent staff trainees here and paid for the training. So we always have to be a little careful, I think, about marketing to the world, mm-hmm. When our main mission is to serve Nebraskans. But your point is well taken, that if nobody's in the training slots, then it's not putting anybody else out. So I don't, I'm certainly welcome to listen to and try ideas about how to spread the word, or I think I like the idea of that we've worked out some of the details between myself, the center, and the business office, to that whenever a person, say in Kansas, really wants training in a center environment, their staff now know about us, they look to us, they bring clients up to tour, or in a few cases have actually placed a client in our center, and then they pay us for it. So I think it's great that we have that information out there. But I guess my personal thought is, first, we really need to make sure that within Nebraska that we're really doing the training we need to at home, and philosophically helping clients understand that training is an investment. A lot of times you'll hear, well, I don't want to give up, you know, or I can't leave because of obligations. Well, you know, maybe that's true, maybe not. It really is an investment in your time and in yourself as a client. So I'd like to make sure internally within the state we're doing a really good job with that. And if we're missing some stuff, or if there are aspects of the way we do things that have sort of broken down, that's what we really are looking at, so we can improve that.
Kathy?
Yes.
What's the scoop on lunch?
They're bringing it now, but.
Okay, so I just want to get this wrapped up so we can still have hot food. And I think we can, it seems to me that the discussion is leading towards our afternoon topic of the changing needs of clients.
Yep.
Seems like that's where we're leading to. So I guess we'll just pick it up, I guess, with that topic and explore that aspect of what we have to offer in the center. Any other comments, questions from commissioners?
We need to do a public comment before break, since we're kind of off.
Oh, yeah, we could do that.
Yeah, we can skip it.
Okay, while they set up our lunch, I want to, we have a few items left that we'll have to do after lunch, but I do want to have the opportunity to do a public comment right now before we break for lunch. So our Bob Deaton. Anyone else?
Okay, I'm not sure what.
Can I just take the thing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'll bring the microphone. You can stand on this side.
Sure. Okay, I just wanted to respond to the concern that somebody in the audience expressed regarding a senior conference. I think the real problem we have there is how staff time need to be committed. Last year, RSA, which is the Rehab Rehabilitation Services Administration, that's the name of our federal partner. Every so often, they come in and they do a survey. They use a monitoring instrument to assess our overall operations and use of federal money. Well, last year they basically said we're spending way too much time on the senior blind. And the reason why they said that is they feel that staff time needs to be committed in balance with the amount of money available for each program. Let's say you got 90% of your budget is for the people with employment goals, and 10% of your budget is for people who have independent living goals. There's a real difference in the amount of money available. And so RSA says if 10% of your budget is for independent living, then staff should not be spending more than 10% of their time. I can't remember exactly what the breakout is, but I do know that our overall budget is actually less than 10%. Less than 10% of our budget is available for independent living services. But RSA is right. We were over committing the amount of staff time. And they said that we really had to change the way we do business, you know. And so that's been a real challenge for us. And so whenever we consider programs like the Senior Blind, even though those are an obvious benefit to people, it also makes a big difference in terms of how much time staff have to commit. And so right now we have balanced staff time, but we have to be very, very careful about adding more programs that will upset that balance. So it's not really the money, it's more, you know, the regulations we have to work with. Okay, that's it.
Thank you.
Just another public comment.
Thank you. Yeah, this is Lori Jacobson, and my question just to the commission is, to the committee here, what is being done about maybe adding to public awareness of what the center does, and just the commission in general? I mean, I hate to say advertising, but I mean more public awareness. Is that something that could be looked at?
Thank you. Thanks. I think some of the community programs, like the artist workshop and the marketplace of values at Sheldon and other things we've done in the community, will help for that.
Yeah, that's an ongoing effort, and we aren't all mindful of it, I think, and do what we can, but yet the job of the commission is to help blind people get jobs, and so we can't deviate. You know, I spend a lot of time and resources on marketing, but, you know, it comes along with the other things that we do, you know, just being out in the community. And I think probably the biggest marketing strategy that we have is the people that use the services. You know, being you guys, being out in the community, and you're gonna, it's just inevitable, you know, somebody's gonna ask you in line at the grocery store, you know, how do you do this or that? And, you know, my grandma's losing her vision, and what can she do? And those are the golden opportunities. And then we really need, you know, you guys to link them up, hook them up with the commission and let them know what's available. Yes.
Just to add to that, I mean, there just so you realize, because there are other things that we are doing that aren't necessarily being verbalized here. I mean, we in the past we put together information that goes out to a lot of ophthalmologists, optometrists across the state, and things that they can hand out to patients if they're asked. There are staff members that attend different conferences around the state, and literally staff informational booths about our agency at those conferences so that people can learn about them. absolutely the best resource we have is everybody who knows about us and are providing the other blind people around the state who are providing that information. You know, how do you do that in referrals? We're very thankful to the American Council for the Blind and the National Federation of the Blind for helping us with referrals, because a lot of times it's, you know, when somebody's trying to find those types of resources, they do that Google search and they just type in the word blind. You know, what comes up first? Well, it might not be necessarily be the commission, but one of these other entities, and them helping to refer clients to us is another way. So there are other efforts out there. It's probably not the best use of funds to put a billboard up on Interstate 80 that says NCBVI, call this number.
Yeah.
But I think there has been efforts in the past to do some public service announcements, but a lot of it is in these other methods that are being utilized. But we're always looking, we're always interested in other ideas. If you have them, please speak up and be willing to share them. We'd love to hear them.
May I just ask a quick question of somebody that's in it, me?
Okay.
I have. I just have to know this because I have to think about it. If the like Blind Inc. and the Louisiana Center for the Blind, their NFB are they're private, I take it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can I, as an old person or senior blind, go to a private entity like that for training, like center training?
Sure, we just want to pay for it.
Case well stated. We need to privatize.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah.
Oh,
my
God. Yeah, oh, that way.
Hand it over to Gilbert.
We'll wait.
Competition.
First of all, our center has been approved by the National Blindness Professional Certification Board, which also is the organization that approves the NFB agencies or centers. The program that we run in Nebraska is a very good program, and the problem with privatization is that you have to be in a constant state of fundraising.
Yep.
And it also becomes much more expensive. The agency I worked for in the state of Pennsylvania, and that was back in prior to 1995, at that time we're charging $50,000 per month per person.
Holy
wow.
So if you'd like to break the budget, go private.
Maybe not. Okay.
Wow.
Thank you.
Is it public comment?
Is it?
Well,
yes. It is public comment.
They
want
to set
a
table.
I heard Alex.
Oh, for lunch.
Okay.
Yeah, it's after. Okay, Alex, can I? Yeah, can we? Okay, this is what I'm going
to ask the question.
Okay, but here's the thing. Our lunch is here, and yeah, we need to do that because we're after time, but I do want to hear from you guys, so this is what I'm going to say. I want the commissioners to go through the line first. We'll eat, then, so that we can get done first, then we can pick up the meeting more quickly that way. So let's, is there half an hour on the agenda for
yes.
lunch?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do half an hour for the lunch. We'll start back with public comment at 12:45. Yeah, and I got Alex, Connie, and is it Glennie? Okay. And Jim will help me remember those names.
Yes.
And we'll do that at 12:45. So if you guys would give the commissioners 2 minutes to get our pizza, then you can go ahead and help
actually,
yourselves.
Actually, three, I'm slow.
Okay, and also, if you stand up, they're bringing tables in for us to use. And so they'll just need to reconfigure.
Table.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to stand up
and
like
yes.
the wall for a second?
Oh, my God.
Hold on just a second. First, come for